In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And thank you for joining me today on the iSpy Radio Network, where every week we are keeping an eye on big government. You know, we are fast coming up on the 3-year anniversary of the Supreme Court giving Obamacare the green light, if you can believe that. June 28, 2012. It will have been 3 years. Meanwhile, Oregon's own version of Obamacare, imposed on us by John Kitzhaber, the now former governor of Oregon, is also plugging along, so we figured it's time for a checkup. Joining us today will be former Marion County Commissioner Patty Milne, who was there in the trenches as Oregon began its much-vaunted healthcare transformation. So we'd like to analyze what exactly this has transformed into and check in with her to see how some of our predictions about how all of this have turned out. To start the transformation, former governor John Kitzhaber used some political magic to obtain nearly $2 billion in funding to pay for the transformation, Oregon's accelerated implementation of Obamacare. So in the second half of our show, we'll talk with Oregon State Senator Doug Whitsitt about some new developments and what happened to all of that money. But first up, I'd like to welcome back Patty Milne. Patty, thanks for joining us today to dissect what exactly has happened to Kitzhaber's grand healthcare scheme.
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to join you again and talk more about where we are today.
It just does seem to be the topic that never ends. There's always more bottom to it, unfortunately. You know, regular listeners of iSpy should have a pretty good idea by now of what exactly this transformation has entailed. And if you're a new listener out there, go ahead and see today's show page on our website, iSpyRadio.com. That's April 11th, 2015, for a load of links to past shows and other articles. The one thing I will say is that you'll hear us refer to often here as CCOs, and those are coordinated care organizations. And that's really the basis for Oregon's healthcare delivery system. Patty, the last time we talked to you on iSpy, we had kind of ended it with wondering why there was so much urgency to push all of this through at the time. And our guess during that show was that it involved money somehow. Are you still suspicious of why this had to be shoved through so quick? And do you suspect it still had to do with a lot of money?
Yes, it did then, it does now, and it's going to continue to be about the money and politics and who's in control of your life.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and that's a great point about who's in control of your life, because people have to remember that if you're okay with John Kitzhaber deciding what your health care is, you also have to be very happy with the next Republican deciding what your health care is like. And I think that's a great point, is that whenever you turn over control of your life to the government, you're going to be at the whim of whatever party's in charge.
Well, that's true. And while the Democrats have been in control for quite some time now here in Oregon, it won't last forever. And there will be different views, and it can happen over time, a little here and a little there. And I think that's why I am aware that even now the legislature is working on at least one bill, because with the whole debacle of the Cover Oregon and the Oracle lawsuit, and that has been moved or will be moving to, what is it, the business and, I'm sorry, the name of the organization, the government entity.
Yeah, I think that's the Business and Labor Committee.
Business and Consumer, I think.
Ah.
And so there are lots of decisions that need to be made there, and it's going to be who sits on that committee.
Mm.
And another effort in committee process that we're going to want to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about some of the money that was involved on this. First of all, it's pretty astounding when you think just how much money this entails. And just on Medicaid spending, the figures for 2013 were $5.11 billion. That's a tremendous amount of money that is hard to even grasp when you think about it. And the issue of it, too, is that if you look at just at one of these CCOs, the Marion County Polk CCO, If you look at their financials for 2013, it showed a $7.8 million in member equity, whereas just 1 year later, suddenly they're showing a $19 million net. So a $12 million increase. So how is it that funds intended for patient care through Medicaid is ending up as profits for supposedly nonprofit companies like Salem Hospital and some of these other organizations that are part of that CCO?
You know, there clearly there are several things going on here. One of the things going on is, again, the fact that the Oregon CCOs, Coordinated Care Organizations, are a part of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known affectionately as Obamacare. And Oregon, and of course former Governor Kip Topper's experience and previous professional life as a physician and leading the charge of how Oregon uses the Medicaid dollars, Oregon was looked at as going to be the model for all of this healthcare transformation nationally. And on the national level, these coordinated care organizations are looked at as ACOs, accountable care organizations. Mm-hmm. But Oregon was going to be blaze the trail, be the trendsetter, create the model for all of this. And therefore, kind of the short of it is, therefore, Kip Topper was able to bring all this money back to Oregon, and nationally, and all of the people who were pushing this at the federal level, there was a great expectation that Oregon would be successful. And of course, former Governor Kip Topper was really counting on having those accolades and that recognition of look what he did, look what Oregon did.
Hmm.
So there was great pressure for Oregon to be successful, and I think that's partially why the money came.
Well, and that would make sense, because when you actually look at the money and pencil it out, it doesn't actually make financial sense, because they're spending $1.9 billion for basically a $500 million savings. But getting back to the financials there for Marion County, Marion Polk CCO, were you ever told that this would happen, that these corporations would be profiting to the tune of tens of millions of dollars off of Medicaid dollars?
No. And I think when all of this was coming about and there were discussions by the powers to be behind the scene, and what was sold to us as county commissioners, or at least to me, it's a nonprofit, but it's a unique animal. It's not your typical corporation, and this was going to be new and unique, and it was emphasized. It's not about profits. And, of course, not just myself, but others were concerned, well, you know, how are you going to make this work? And for me, it's always been that three-legged stool. You have the number of people you're serving, you have this what's now called the global budget, and you have the quality of care. And it's very hard to keep all of those in balance.
Yeah.
And so how was this CCO, this coordinated care organization, going to function, provide the quality of care to this vast, you know, number of people,
And not only fund it, but also they were supposed to be saving money, too. That was the other side of this. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right here. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Patty Millen coming up. We're going to be talking about some of those predictions that we made about the CCOs. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're giving Oregon's healthcare transformation a bit of a checkup today, talking with Patty Millen, who was there as a county commissioner for Marion County as this was all being implemented. And Patty, in this segment, let's look at some of the trends we were seeing and some predictions that you and I had discussed. One of these was the notion of transparency. This was a trend that was actually mandated as a condition of Kitsop accepting that $2 billion of federal taxpayer dollars. You and your representatives were actually shut out of the whole formation process of the CCO that was starting in your own county. So how does that even remotely transparent?
Well, I did not think it was transparent. We ended up with one of the three commissioners being the designated person to be in on these, what actually were private negotiations, it was very, very difficult to get information on what agreements were being made and, of course, relative to financials. So it was very, very, very difficult and certainly not transparent. But the other thing is, whether we're talking about healthcare transformation or some other issues, I think a lot of people will understand that government accounting is kind of like a shell game, and it's very hard to follow. To follow from one mathematical equation to the next, and then the terminology can be really complicated and easily confuse the average citizen from following. So where did this come from, and where is it going, and what does it mean? What does it mean to me as a taxpayer? Oh, in this case, what does it mean to me as a patient?
Yeah. And just within the accounting business itself, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can account for monies. But really, as we have said in the past, is that the bigger the system gets, the harder it is to actually track these things. And so there's a lot of different shells under which you can hide a lot of money. In terms of the transparency issues of CCO, since we're talking trends here, has it improved at all? I mean, are we able to now get a really clear picture of what's going on here, even within Marion County CCO, which is our own local one?
Well, of course, I'm no longer a Marion County Commissioner,
sure.
Retired. I would have no idea what is going on in the Marion, and isn't it still Marion Polk CCO? Your question is a great one. Where does the average citizen get information? Of course, these days we can Google, go to the internet and Google, but to get the information that we really need to understand what is happening in this healthcare transformation, are we better serving particularly the low-income people? Who knows?
Yeah.
And well, we're relying on government to provide that information. And again, that's where they only provide what they want to provide.
Yeah, exactly.
They
right.
Only make and public and, what they want the public to know. And it's often only part of the story.
Well, and then sometimes not even any of the story. I mean, certainly as we see here with Hillary Clinton, her burying her own emails, and even here locally with Kitzhaber and his own email scandals. So it's a lot of times it's not even remotely some of the whole story. I mean, you're just seeing the tiniest glimpse. And so in terms of transparency, let's maybe move on. One of the ways that the CCO model was going to save money was by imposing a global budget and a hard cap on Medicaid, which meant that at some point they may, in fact, run out of money. So have you ever heard a good answer on what happened if we ran out of money with, say, 2 months to go in the fiscal year? Do people's grandmothers simply go without?
No, I don't know. And this is one of the interesting aspects of this, too. So all this money that was promised to Oregon, and it was promised subject to certain things happening. And often what will happen in government, you get close to having to submit your report, and costs might include something different than they included previously, or assets may be something different than they were before, and then who knows what the real answer is. But or they beg for a new formula that makes things look, the new formula can allow the bottom line to look different than it may really be.
And that was a big problem that you and I had discussed previously, was the fact that the same people that are administering this are the same ones that are accounting for whether or not it's successful. And they were going to develop their own metrics to gauge its success. So it's like the teacher giving themselves a grade on how well they administer the test, regardless of how the students do. And that's just a recipe for disaster.
Right. And it could be specifically regarding the healthcare delivery for the population that the CCOs are responsible for. My concern is, back to your question a moment ago, if the money's running out, one way to stretch the dollars is to eliminate certain treatments, mm-hmm. medications, sure. procedures that that a patient may need. And maybe it's a procedure that, well, we'll just put it off until the next quarter, or we'll put it off to the next fiscal year, and nobody will be harmed, nobody will be the wiser that we're having to manipulate the care to make sure that the budget shows. But it still doesn't answer the question then of, so now there's $2 million more? Where did it come from?
Yeah.
How do you get that amount of money in a relatively, and I'm saying relative to maybe across the country, not so much relative to Oregon, because we tend to deal with smaller populations. Where did that much money come from? And if we're looking at increasing the quality of care, why wasn't it expended to people's health care?
Yeah, and unfortunately,
and where
then
is
what?
It sitting?
Yeah, exactly. And then unfortunately, what happens is healthcare becomes a matter of accounting rather than simply actual health care. So let's go ahead and take a break right here. We'll continue that thought when we pick things up with Patty Milne, former Marion County Commissioner, who was there in the trenches when Oregon's healthcare transformation started. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, talking about Oregon's healthcare transformation with former Marion County Commissioner Patty Milne. Before we get going, though, I want to make sure to mention that I'll be appearing on Patty's TV show, People, Places, and Politics, which airs in Salem on CCTV. Patty, I got to tell you, that was a lot of fun being on that.
Oh, it was great to have you as my guest. So turn the tables there. And it's, again, I think it's really, really important that we are following up on what happened and helping these audiences with some updated information and giving them some food for thought on people need to be asking these questions.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking millions, billions of taxpayer dollars, and we're talking about people's lives at stake, and the cost is going to do nothing but continue to increase.
Oh, sure.
At the same time, what we're discussing now is then how come there's a profit that's very substantial when
yeah.
there was a concern about being able to do this to make it work. There are just too many unanswered questions here, so we need to keep following this.
Yeah, absolutely. And just before we leave the topic of the TV show, I just want to mention it's going to air on Wednesday, April 15th at 6 p.m. We'll be rebroadcast on Thursday morning, Saturday evening, and then again on Sunday morning. And so that people don't have to remember all that, we'll make sure to put up links to those times and dates on iSpyRadio.com. And so we were talking about some of the tax liabilities and whatnot. And when this was being forced on counties, you and I speculated this would cause a serious financial liability for the counties. And sure enough, last time we spoke, the Marion Polk County CCO was facing a tax liability of around $2.3 million for that year and another $3 million tax bill on its way because they had set it up as a for-profit corporation rather than as a nonprofit. Have you heard any news on where that tax liability stands right now?
I don't know. Again, this is something that only the insiders seem to have any information, and it's not something that they're very anxious to share with the taxpayers
no.
who are footing the bill.
No, it sure does not. And along those same lines, and we're going to talk a lot about this with Doug Whitsitt in the next half of the show, is that they had been contacted, they meaning the state of Oregon, had been contacted by CMS. This is for the Center for Medicaid and Medicare, if I remember right. Anyway, regardless of the acronym, they were basically saying, you know, your accounting figures aren't matching up on this. And during the break, we were discussing this. And what's really interesting about this is they're basically saying they're not going to answer any of the questions. And what you and I were saying was, well, so then why is it so important that they have this global budget? I mean, because accounting costs are actually very small when it comes to healthcare. So why are they so concerned that they have to dump this all of the funds into this one big gigantic pot? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's easier to lose track of where each dollar goes relative to patients, providers, the whole array of care. the various people who need to get paid, and then of course the number of individuals who the costs are, you know, associated with, you know, the patient cost. You can mix and match. We have a global budget, and we have, just for the sake of discussion, we have 100 patients. And, you know, John Q. Public has a really high cost of treatment for some rare condition. But on the other hand, Susie Q, you know, she's pretty healthy. So we're going to take, you know, what might have gone to her and give it to John. And so the dollars can, it's a global budget. You're not looking necessarily at the individual patient's cost of care, unless that individual patient's cost of care is high because it involves a lot of treatments, prescriptions, procedures, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, it's very fishy, and we'll continue that side of things with Senator Doug Whitsitt in the upcoming segments here. But in terms of the level of care, we had predicted that this was not going to lead to improved care, much to their dismay. So what are you hearing? Is healthcare suddenly vastly improved, as Kitz Arbor predicted, or is it getting worse?
Well, I'll share just a couple of things real quickly with you that I had talked about previously over the last couple of years. For example, the small business owners have been hit particularly hard with higher cost policy, higher deductibles, and higher premiums, and co-pays. The cost went up. I've had a number of people, and it tends to be younger families with kids. And the startling thing is, you have, for example, a father of two boys and a wife who has her insurance with her employer. So this is the self-employed dad, business owner. And he says, what the heck am I paying for female care? I don't have a girl, you know. My kids are too young to be married. So things like that. And then just this increased cost. And I can tell you myself, when you talk about the care that is not being given, and of course I'm getting older, as we all are, and in the last couple of years I've noticed when I go for my annual physical, the doctor says, gosh, you know, they've decided that you just don't need that annual whatever, you know, test, whatever it may be. And I thought, well, this is really peculiar. So I started to talk to other friends, especially female friends, and they too. Yeah, my doctor said, yeah, you don't need that anymore. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, why? Why would last year I needed it, this year I don't?
Yeah.
What's going on here? And I think all the listeners can probably look at their own health care, a family member, and in some cases, this lack of care or restricted care is what I would call it, can be life-threatening.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And that's the big issue, is that you're playing a numbers game with people's lives and their health. And Patty, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today, and I look forward to being on your TV show next time.
Yes, and we have a date set. We'll continue this discussion. Thanks.
Yes, we sure will. Up next, Senator Doug Whitsitt. Hey, remember that $300 million fiasco that was Cover Oregon? Turns out there's a bigger bill Oregon may have to return to the feds, about six times bigger. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We just wrapped up with Patty Milne. She was the former Marion County Commissioner, talking about the CCOs and some of the issues that have been ongoing. And we'd like to welcome now Senator Doug Whitsitt to continue the discussion about the battle between CMS and the Oregon Health Authority. Senator Whitsitt, it's great to talk to you today.
Good to talk to you.
So Kitz Arbor's program here, his grand scheme to revamp the Oregon Health Authority and Oregon's healthcare transformation, it's experiencing a little bit of difficulty in living up to the promises that he made to the Obama administration to get that waiver that he did. That's the $1.9 billion that was extended to them. Last year, in 2014, in August, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services at CMS, a lot easier to say, they expressed significant concerns regarding how Oregon pays for Medicaid services, including quote-unquote high-risk practices, And then also data deficiencies and methodological gaps. And what this boiled down to was concerns over this global budget that really is at the heart of how the Oregon CCO model is working, where all of these funds were essentially dumped into a big, gigantic piggy bank, and there's really no tracking of allocated funds per patient the way that the CMS model actually requires. So Oregon was given at that time 120 days to respond, which they did not. And then after a second letter, according to the Portland Business Journal, Lynn Saxon, who is the director of Oregon Health Authority, said they won't be answering any questions because OHA has opted instead to revise this year's rates. So what are your thoughts about how the Oregon Health Authority is choosing to deal with this whole issue?
You know, it's an ongoing problem that promises made that without complete plans on how those promises would be met. You know, the governor aimed to improve access to healthcare services by reducing costs through medical service delivery efficiencies, to reduce emergency room visits, which would save a great deal of money, to focus on better management of chronic diseases, and to treat emphasis on disease prevention through education and early intervention and all that sort of stuff. But they really didn't put any metrics into the system. And essentially, the governor was rolling the dice that he could use this money to offset the cost of the CCOs until they got up and running and reached the kind of efficiencies that he had in mind. Well, now that money is running out. It was front-loaded, I think it was $620 million the first year, and now it's down to $183 million a year in subsidy from the federal government. But the savings from the CCOs have not risen to the level that would offset that. So we're running into a fiscal cliff of pretty significant proportions, and that's going to happen as early as 2017. The federal money is going to run out. The last money is supposed to be used in 2016. And that's about $183 million. So that won't be available in 2017. There's also about $100 million in hospital provider tax money that was left over during this session, this budget period, that can be used in the next budget period. But that's a one-time funding. So now we're at $283 million. And then the federal match has been 95%, but in 2017, that is going to drop down to 92%, and then the projection is drop down to 90% in 2019. That doesn't sound like too much, except that the difference between Oregon's 5% current match and its match in 2017 is a 60% increase, and the projection for 2019 is a 100% increase. Mm. And when you put all that together, we're looking at about a $1 billion shortfall to make this work in 2017, just 2 years from now. That assumes that the Center for Medicaid Services doesn't require that some of that $1.9 billion be refunded because we did not meet their expectations and did not meet the promised metrics. So any penalty on that level would be another, in addition to that $1 billion projected deficit.
Well, let me actually interrupt you right there because, you know, I think some people that are listening to this think, well, you know, that's just kind of a veiled threat by the federal government and, you know, it probably won't actually happen because they'll weasel their way out of it one way or another. Can you think of instances in the past where either Oregon or other states have, in fact, had to refund money that the feds had extended them?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't have an example other than what appears to be another prospective thing. You look at the $300 million that the state got that Kitzhaber went and got for Cover Oregon, invested that in a completely failed website portal, and there is a federal investigation ongoing there too to see whether some or all of that money may have to be refunded to the federal government because once again, Oregon did not meet the expectations of the of the gift.
Mm. Well, and I like how you put it in your newsletter there, too, which, of course, we'll link up on iSpyRadio.com. But I liked how you put it there that it is so broken that we just decided to scrap the entire thing. It was so badly done. In terms of the waiver that, actually, we're coming up on a break here. Let's go ahead and take a break here because this is a mouthful. So let everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Senator Doug Whitsitt talking about the Oregon Health Authority's ongoing battle with CMS. Stay with us. Welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show, talking today about Oregon's healthcare transformation and doing kind of a checkup on that, see how that's doing. And so far, the news hasn't been so good. And to do all that, we are talking with Senator Doug Whitsitt out of Southern Oregon, and he has been following this for quite some time, and his most recent newsletter deals specifically with this. If you'd like a copy of that, just head to iSpyRadio.com. And so anyway, we were talking about in the last segment there about the ongoing battle between the Oregon Health Authority and the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS, and they are saying that Oregon's grand scheme to use the global budget just won't fly under federal regulations because it doesn't allow for tracking of payments made on behalf of these patients. And so this waiver acknowledged that the Oregon Health Authority, when the waiver was first given, it said that the Oregon Health Authority would be using a global budget. But obviously from that August CMS letter, they were having issues with the current scheme. Do you think that when that was first presented to CMS, CMS's interpretation of what a global budget entailed was really different from what Oregon actually meant by a global budget?
There certainly appeared to be at least a miscommunication because the expectations of the CMS were clearly different than what either Oregon intended to do or what Oregon actually has accomplished.
You know, it's just, I can't think of another instance, and so maybe you can, but I can't think of another instance, whether on a state or federal level, where they have given this grant or this big giant pot of money, and it's just established without any tracking requirements of disbursements, the way that Kitzhaber and the Oregon CCO directors wanted to do that. Can you think of any other time where we don't have that kind of tracking data requirement?
You know, I really can't. That was something, one of the reasons that I voted against these bills back in when they were being brought forward. I remember the governor came to our Republican Senate caucus office and explained what was going on. And when asked whether, you know, what was his confidence that it would work, he just simply said, we're going to roll the dice and see. Mm. Because I think it will work. But it apparently hasn't that well, and there is now obviously a great deal of concern from the expressed by the federal government that that $1.9 billion did not achieve what it was meant to do. And I think I think a lot of that has been going on with the federal government, where particularly under the Obama administration, where they use a huge pots of other people's money to just see if it'll work. And yeah, if it doesn't, oh well. And this is, to me, this is just one more example of that that mentality.
Yeah. Well, and in terms of rolling the dice, did he offer any substance as to why he thought it would work, other than simple hope?
There were no specific metrics. I mean, obviously, he is looking at a way to try to reduce the cost of uninsured and uninsured medical care that people can't pay for. And we know that there's a huge amount of expense going into emergency room care for pretty routine things that people don't have insurance. They go to the emergency room, they don't have to pay for it if they're indigent or are incapable of paying for it. So they was trying to approach that issue, which I think is an issue that needs to be dealt with. He's also trying to focus on more prevention, particularly in chronic diseases, things that might in the future reduce the cost of medical care delivery. And all that, I think, makes good sense. But I think the plan was not well thought out, and the metrics were not put in place so that In year two, we had to reach a certain level. In year three, we had to reach a certain level, this sort of thing. In the state plan, I don't see those metrics put in place. The expectation from the federal government, CMS, was, yeah, these are benchmarks we need to reach, and now we have spent $1.9 billion, or we will at the end of 2016, and we're not seeing that result.
Hmm. So we essentially have an agency director who's kind of, in my opinion, thumbing her nose at CMS and saying we're just going to continue to do what we're doing. But in my opinion, I think that that's kind of putting Oregon at risk for not only having that the Medicaid funding potentially cut, but we may in fact have to pay back some or all of that $1.9 billion. Is there any kind of oversight on her? I mean, and who would that be? Is it legislatively or is it the governor?
The director of the Oregon Health Authority is appointed by the governor, and it's an executive agency. The only oversight that the legislative assembly actually has is in the budgeting. We don't have the power to hire and fire or to actually other than. The Senate did confirm Lynn Saxton's appointment, and I, at this point in time, I'm willing to give her a little bit of time and see what happens. She's new on the job, and she obviously has inherited a significant mess, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that was interesting when this first broke last August was that you had essentially all of the directors of the CCOs saying that if they pull this global budget idea off the table, then essentially the whole model fails. And I don't quite understand that. And I'm wondering if you have any insights on that, because this is an accounting issue. It's just how funds are tracked from one patient to the next, what kinds of services they get, what kind of funds they receive from the federal government and whatnot. So why is it that simply changing an accounting model would disband the entire notion of CCOs? Do you have any thoughts on that?
If you're not saving enough money, then there are certain ways you would go about doing that. One would be to reduce the number of people that are being served. And we've gone from about 600,000 to about 1.2 million. But, I mean, if the growth is too rapid, you would cut back on those numbers.
Hmm.
You could also improve the cash flow by increasing the copay to the participants. You could also reduce the cost by decreasing the amount of reimbursement to the medical care providers. All of those things have been forbidden by the CMS.
Hmm.
So I think therein lies the concern, with the CCO people, is that this is, you know, this is our global situation, and if we're not able to continue to see how, if it works, if we have to meet these particular metric things, these are the ways that we would go about doing it. But the CMS won't let us do any of that without jeopardizing the possibility of having to repay the money.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break right there. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more Senator Doug Whitsitt talking about the ongoing issues between Oregon Health Authority and its radical transformation. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're in our final segment now with Senator Doug Whitsitt talking about the Oregon Health Authority and its transformation of Oregon's healthcare model. And just one final question here about the global budget, because my concern on this is that when you get these big, gigantic pots of money, and $1.9 billion was that was kind of the starting point, but instead we're actually spending almost, actually over $5.1 billion every year just on Medicaid. And when you start getting into these enormous pots of money and you look at how the CCOs are dumping all of this into a big, gigantic global budget, my concern is that when you see that kind of thing happening, it becomes easier and easier to start hiding money. And we have seen it in the environmental movement, certainly, where the people are profiting billions of dollars off the taxpayer. And so does that concern you at all, that is a potential there with that global budget?
It is. It does bother me. Anytime you have huge quantities of public money going into nonprofit organizations, it does bother me. It's the oversight is often inadequate, and the how the money is accounted for is a problem. There's another major fiscal cliff here as well. The whole Affordable Care Act is premised on the idea that the younger people will pay the insurance premiums, higher insurance premiums, to subsidize older folks' insurance needs. And what is happening in Oregon and also across the United States, but particularly in Oregon, the younger people are not paying for insurance policies. They're actually joining Medicaid.
Mm.
So not only are they not paying into the system, they're taking out of the system. That is a structural budget problem. I don't know how you fix.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would love to move us away from Oregon's own healthcare system. I would love us to move away from the Affordable Care Act, which is anything but affordable. But unfortunately, we just don't have time to dissect that one. I do want to talk to you. We only got about 3 minutes here or so with you. Right now, there's a big water emergency down in California, and I don't really sympathize that much with them, because I know that they had technology that was built back in the 50s and 60s to ward off more than 5 years of drought. These were reservoirs that they had built. They were dams that they had been put in, and it was all of these different technologies that were pretty basic. I mean, going back to the Roman times, they used to have these kinds of things. And instead of saving that water, they have now decided to flush it down the toilet, essentially, in order to save some salmon and some other fish that, or some of them, weren't even native species. Now we've seen California Governor Jerry Brown institute some of these severe water restrictions. And now, of course, we've got Governor Kate Brown declaring the same issue going down in Klamath County. So what are you hearing? What does this mean for the farmers of Klamath?
Well, the governor's drought declaration is a necessary thing in order to trigger the more efficient use of water to allow emergency rules to be promulgated for stock watering and that sort of thing with surface water, and also the use of some of the drought wells. I mean, that is a good thing. The same situation, however, has caused the problem in southern Oregon. I mean, in the Klamath Basin, we do have a meteorological drought this year, in that we actually are about normal in precipitation, but it's almost all come in the form of rain. The snowpack is only about 7% of normal.
Yeah.
So there isn't. So we know we're going to have a bad water year, and but the primary problem is the reallocation of water. Just like in California, they have reallocated water from irrigation to fish. And in Oregon, in the Klamath Basin, there's a huge amount of water that is reallocated to the sucker fish in Upper Klamath Lake, so that you have to keep the lake level higher, which makes a lot of water unavailable for irrigation. And then they're running about 320,000 acre-feet of water down the river for the benefit of the coho salmon and ecological bits, which is more than enough to irrigate the entire Klamath project. And then most recently, the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement, the Upper Basin farmers agreed to permanently retire 30,000 acre-feet of water and deliver it to Upper Klamath Lake for the benefit of fish, and also for irrigating downstream in the Klamath project. Early this week, the National Marine Fisheries Services said, you know, we need an extra 15,000 acre-feet of water in the spring for the coho smolts. And we need another 15,000 acre-feet of water in the fall to ensure there's enough water in the river for those fish to come up. Otherwise, we're probably going to have to regulate the Klamath River, which means shut down salmon fishing roughly from Coos Bay to Marin County in Orion, California.
Wow.
So the farmers give up 30,000 acre-feet to try to make things work, and National Marine Fisheries Services simply takes it all, and then again drive a wedge between the fishers and the farmers.
Wow, that is just absolutely ugly.
The fishers don't get their 30,000 acre-feet of water, they can't fish. If the farmers don't get their 30,000 acre-feet of water, a lot of them won't be able to farm.
Wow, that is just ugly. Senator Whitsitt, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, we see it all the time. The left views government as a means to enrich themselves. Now, I don't have a problem with profits. What I do have problems with is when people or corporations make enormous profits off of what amounts to taxpayer charity, which is what Medicaid is. Charity by the taxpayer, intended for the care of the poor. Some time ago, we said that the global warming scam would eventually break down and the left would shift over to skimming money from the government through healthcare. We're seeing that happen.
There's a lot more to uncover, and we're just getting started. Be sure to check our website, iSpyRadio.com. Lots of links there to help you find out more about Oregon's accelerated push towards socialized medicine. Please share them with your friends and neighbors and your representatives, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.